Joined right now by a senior writer for ESPN. He is a New York Times bestselling author. His newest book, Belichick, is out today. Ian O'Connor is my guest. Ian, nice to have you back on. How are you?
Jim, great to be with you.
Great to have you, Ian. So you have covered sports for a long time. You have more or less, Ian, seen pretty much everything. Have you ever seen anybody quite like Bill Belichick?
No, that's an easy question. Absolutely not. In speaking to 350 people for this book, Jim, I talked to a number of his friends, and they said he is an entirely different human being away from the facility and stadium. He just doesn't want to show that side of him in public. Yeah, it's funny because most celebrities and public figures, as you know, want to show their best side in public and hide their worst side in private. Bill does the reverse. It is a strange dynamic, but I think he feels that when he's at work and he's at that podium in his news conferences that people around the country are watching, he wants to set an organizational tone for his players that we give away no information. We're in the business of collecting and gathering information, but not sharing it. And I think his players do ultimately follow that lead.
Ian O'Connor joining us. His book, Belichick, is out right now. So, Ian, if we go back to 2000, when he was hired, what would you have said if I said to you 18 years later that he would not only still be coaching the Patriots, but he'd have five rings and you would be coming out with a book on him? If I had said that to you 18 years ago, what would you have said?
Well, I know exactly what I would have said because I wrote it. I wrote it was a bad hire, and I've heard about that from Patriots fans for the last 18 years, and rightfully so. I thought, going in, and listen, 75% of the NFL agreed with me at the time. The entire New York Giants organization, talking to them, they agreed with me. Certainly the Cleveland people, and Art Modell. Modell told Robert Kraft, this is the biggest mistake of your life hiring this guy. He had four losing seasons out of five in Cleveland. But beyond that, he didn't have – his public personality was terrible. And he certainly didn't project to be – to match up with the profile of a successful head coach in the NFL. So I would have been absolutely flabbergasted if he told me back in 2000 after I wrote that column that he was going to be what he became. But he did, and I've never been more wrong in my life. Obviously, he's 5-13 after his first games in New England, and then Tom Brady walked into his life. He needed that special player as the centerpiece for his what would become a special program. If that doesn't happen, if Brady doesn't come into his life, if Mo Lewis doesn't put that hit on Drew Bledsoe, it's hard to tell what would have become of Belichick and the Patriots, but obviously that's not something he has to worry about.
Ian O'Connor joining us, and we'll talk about Belichick and Tom Brady. Ian's book, Belichick, is out right now. You know, again, Ian, you were far from the only person who thought that. I think most people thought that that was not a good hire. As an example, what about that situation with the Jets and how that ended? From all of your reporting, what exactly happened with him there?
I think, Jim, it was Bill Parcells' presence. I really do. And I know at the time that a lot of people, and Bill said this at his press conference, he cited the uncertainty and the new ownership. Was it going to be Woody Johnson? Was it going to be Chuck Dolan? And there was uncertainty there after Leon Hess had passed away. But I think it was really Parcells was tough on him with the Giants, but he was much tougher on Bill with the Jets. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. And at the time, frankly, I didn't either. I wish I had known that because I think the tone of that column I wrote might have been a little different. But Parcells was really – Ray Mickens, former defensive back for the Jets, told me that he heard Parcells berate Belichick in such a way that he couldn't even repeat on the phone what he said. And I just think Belichick got worn down. Almost in a sense the way maybe Brady got worn down in the way he's been coached for 18 years by Belichick last year, I think little Bill was worn down by big Bill, and it was time for him to get out from underneath Parcells. And ultimately, and I don't know if he'd ever say this for public consumption, but I think that was the primary reason. Plus, he had a very good relationship with Robert Kraft in New England when he was an assistant under Parcells. Parcells and Kraft hated each other, but Belichick did not.
Ian O'Connor is my guest. He's written a book called Belichick. It is out right now. So, Ian, when you talk about the fact that Tom Brady may be worn down from Belichick, I mean, this is the most discussed connection, the relationship between Belichick and Brady himself. How would you describe the relationship over the years, and in particular, the last couple of years, between the two of them?
Well, over the years, it was always, I've described this as transactional. There was never any warmth or love. They never went out for dinner. But it was the most successful partnership in the history of the league. So it really worked at the highest possible level. And I just think last year, really, it came to a head. All the 18 years of being coached the way he was in an unrelenting, unforgiving way by Belichick. And then I think, Jim, the night they drafted Garoppolo in 2014, it was inevitable that there was going to be a clash, and it happened last year. Brady outperformed the system and forced them to trade Garoppolo, and then Belichick later on takes away access to Brady's business partner and life coach Alex Guerrero. The Malcolm Butler benching didn't help because Brady was really upset about that. So in the offseason, my sources told me that late March, even, Brady was still thinking of walking away rather than play another season for his head coach.
Now, Ian, when you talk about Tom Brady outperforming the system and that forcing them to trade Garoppolo, what do you mean by that?
If you look at that system over the years, every very good or great Patriots player has basically been moved out 1 year early rather than 1 year late. That's the Belichick way. That's the Patriot way. Whether it started with Lawyer Malloy, if you want one penny too much relative to your values against the salary cap, in Belichick's estimation, he's going to move you out. He's going to nudge you into retirement. He's going to make a trade. He's going to do something to go to a younger, cheaper player. He's done that his entire time in New England, and Brady was next, and he knew it. As soon as they drafted Garoppolo that night, Belichick said, he cited Brady's age, his contract status. He said he's got to be early and late at that position. Brady knew that a warning shot had been fired right over his head. He was next to go, and he outperformed the system and the machine that was going to churn him out next. And he forced them to trade Garoppolo instead. And that was the ultimate confrontation, the moment of truth. And I think after that, you see the relationship getting more tense. Up until the point, again, where he seriously considered walking away.
Ian O'Connor is my guest. He's written a book called Belichick. It is out today. I think, Ian, you could probably argue pretty easily that Belichick does not have five rings without Brady. Brady does not have five rings without Belichick. If you had to argue, though, who needs the other more?
That's the million-dollar question. I've been asked that a lot. And when you write a book about Belichick and you're trying to promote it, obviously, you're a little biased. And maybe you're thinking Belichick and his system and culture. And I would probably lean that way. But I think it's really more of an even deal in that I think Belichick was worth at least one ring extra to Brady, and Brady was worth at least one ring extra to his coach. And if you put them with other people, in other words, if you put Brady with Tony Dungy, who has, what, one ring? I think Dungy would have two. If you put Belichick with Russell Wilson, who's good, but he's not Tom Brady, I think Russell Wilson would have two rings. That's the way I look at it. It's very difficult to say one is more important than the other. But at the end of the day, Belichick is the one who created the culture and the system around the quarterback. If you force me to give someone a slight edge, I'd probably go with him.
Like, and maybe the same question in a different way, Ian, but if you were to ask Belichick and he were to answer it honestly, how many other quarterbacks does he think that active quarterbacks or quarterbacks of this generation, does he think that he could have won five rings with?
I don't know if any. I'm sure he believes. I know he has the highest regard for Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't, right? There's no way Aaron Rodgers has one ring right now if he's been coached by Belichick his entire career and in that same system. I think he would agree with that.
Sure.
And so you look at him, and I think that's a perfect example of a guy. Imagine him and his talent in the Patriots system. And I know I reported this, that Tom Brady told one coach in the NFL not too long ago that maybe part of it was in jest, certainly the numbers, but he said if you put Aaron Rodgers and gave him the information I have every week from the coaching staff, he'd throw for 7,000 yards every year because he's
right.
Got so much more physical talent than Brady. But Brady has that intangible. I think he's the greatest football player ever, not just the greatest quarterback. And a lot of it is just he's just got that something. It's not he's got physical talent, but he's not a great athlete. He's a great winner. The intangibles are off the charts, and I think that has separated him from Rodgers and everyone else.
Ian O'Connor is my guest for a few more moments. He's got a brand new book out, Belichick. It is out today. Ian, what does Belichick think of Deflategate and the way that whole thing played out?
Well, in the early hours of it, there were a lot of people in that organization, particularly after Brady's first press conference. It was a very poor performance, as you recall, a very wobbly performance. At the podium, a lot of people in the organization had serious doubts about Brady's claim that he had nothing to do with this. And I think Belichick definitely was in that crowd, according to my sources. Ron, when some science came in backing up the Patriots, they were able to rally around some of that science, and they moved away from whatever doubts they might have had about Brady. But there were a lot of feelings there. I know that Brady was not happy and his camp was not happy when Belichick told reporters, go ask Tom about his preferences with game balls. I don't really know anything about it, but you should ask him. He put it the whole case in his lap. And to me, that was in part anyway, Belichick saying, hey, I got the play. I got Spygate. I already have my gate. This gate is going to belong to my quarterback, because Brady benefited from Spygate basically as much as Bill did, but the face of Spygate is Bill. Mm. And I think if there was going to be a face on Deflategate, it was not going to be Belichick.
Interesting. In your opinion, though, realistically, could Belichick have really not known what was going on at all?
You know, Jim, a lot of people around the league believe that, and I do too. I know there are some people who question that, but I thought he was credible in his press conferences after Deflategate first broke. And I actually do believe that. You'd be surprised at how many head coaches, who, and some of them don't even like Bill, share that opinion. That's one where they say, if that was anybody, it had to be the quarterback, because he's the one who's lording over those game balls. And then, of course, he had the two equipment guys in on it as well. Brady is sworn he had nothing to do with it, but he did serve that penalty. And I think that I actually believe Belichick's story on that one. I do.
You know, Connor is my guest. We have him for a couple of more moments. This book is brand new. It's out today. It's called Belichick. So, Ian, bottom line, how do you think it ends in New England for Bill Belichick? Does he keep coaching for years to come, or do you think that the end is in sight and near?
Well, he's a young 66, and he still loves it very much, according to people close to him. And so I think he's going to coach another 5 or so years, and Brady might play another 5 or so years, or maybe they'll go out together. I do think they have one more ring left in them. This roster certainly doesn't look good enough to do it this year, but I think winning one more, Belichick breaks the tie with Lombardi, Brady. There's a bunch of great athletes who've had 5, and maybe he matches Jordan with 6. I do think that'll happen in the next 2 to 3 years, but that would be it. And I think the narrative then would be, hey, you guys, many of you said our relationship was done, it wasn't functional anymore, and we came back and we climbed the mountain one more time, and we did it again. And I'd like to, if that happens, I think it'd be a great story to write. I hope I'm there to do it.
So, Ian, what do you think life would look like for Belichick after coaching?
You know, he's not one to, he likes golf, and he's played Pebble Beach, so I think he's going to do a little of that. He'll be sailing a little bit around Nantucket. I think he's going to work a long time. I really do. I just think he's a guy who absolutely adores football as much as his father did. And I think as much as his children do. I believe the reason his children, his 2 sons are on staff now. His daughter is apparently, she's known to be a very good women's lacrosse coach at Holy Cross. And I think they gravitated toward that profession because they saw just how much their father adored it. I really don't think we're going to be worrying about what he's going to do post-career in the NFL, because I think he's got a lot of career left.
He's a senior writer for ESPN, a New York Times bestselling author. He spoke to more than 350 people for this book. It's brand new. It's out today. It's called Belichick. Ian O'Connor, our guest. Ian, great to get caught up. Thank you so much. Congrats on a great book, and really nice to talk to you.
Oh, thanks as always, Jim. I appreciate it.
That was fun, Ian. Nice job. Nice to have you back. Ian O'Connor.